God's just waiting for the vessel to open up to him. Well, that's a perfect analogy. If they would just open up their vessels, he would fill them with mercy. But they shut up the wrath that is already within all of us. But God creates. We don't open up. He opens us. He forms us. Okay. As the elect of God. Elect means selected. As the selected of God. I'm God's choice select. Not that I'm something, but he just selected me to make something. It's like selecting one lump of clay from another. Not necessarily any particular reason. Is one lump of clay better than another? Nope. It just was selected for that purpose. There's no boasting. I'll tell you what, God, even to be alive, you're already selected for some sort of purpose. And it's such a blessing to even have life, considering all the people that have never been born, or never even conceived. My wife and I have 6 children. We could have had 6 billion. With all the combinations of DNA, twin possibilities, I could probably have an infinite number of children, considering all the number of women there are out there, and all the men that are out there. And we could have it with other women. And all those people are never even born, never even conceived, never see the light of day. Well, here I am, alive. What mercy. And so I see that God does not owe me anything. He's already given me everything. Well, he still owes me yet more. And if he selects some and does not select me, ultimately that's his business. Why does he yet find fault? Because it's his right. It is his right. You know, God is above the law. He's not above his own word, because his own word is him. But the laws are not, you know, like the laws that are in the universe are not, God's not forced to, God, the scripture is filled with God defying laws. Gravity, you know, the laws that would govern, you know, making iron float and all kind, you know, donkeys to speak, etc., whatever, however these things work, it's in defiance of the things which we consider to be hard and fast laws. But God took a man made under the law, perfect, Jesus Christ, and then we also, whom he has now selected to be conformed to his image. There are certain things we have to fulfill. And you can make this a law. Okay, I got to put on bowels and mercies. I got to be kind. I got to be humble. You know, and you can do all this. But how can you have humbleness of mind if you really don't think so in your heart? If in your heart you really are not humble. If you aren't really thinking that. If you really think, I sure am something. Deep down inside, you think, yeah, I'm pretty smart. See, I don't think that. I know God has given me gifts of intelligence and so on and so forth. But he can take it away tomorrow. Totally out of my hands. God forbid. But, you know, it's like all the things I have in him. I could be lifted up. Look at all the children I've fathered. He gave me those. Everything I have came from God. I'm his workmanship, but that's no cause for being lifted up. It'd be stupid of me, because that would cause me to be not his work, because pride comes before a fall. Pride is the work of the devil. When I'm lifted up in pride, I'm not righteous. My mind is of earthly things, not heavenly. I don't mean the sense of pride in which, you know, you take joy in like seeing someone you love do well. They call that pride sometimes. That's not pride. In the biblical sense. Like I say, I always feel a lot of joy seeing people I love do well, that they're happy, you know, or to see my children succeed and so on and so forth and obtain things. Not things of earth necessarily, but when you see them growing and you see their spirits, that they're being formed in a godly fashion, it causes a lot of pleasure. But not that it should come to pride like, oh, all that I have done. It's just a joy in the works of God. And like they say, take pride in your work. You know, I mean, I work hard on things and I joy in a job well done, but I don't mean that I think like, I have done such a great job. I'm just pleased that the job is done. Different. It's a different type of thing. There's no, the pride should not enter into it. Because it's all done by gifts which God has given. So thankfulness and rejoicing. Man should have rejoicing in his own labor and not in the labor of another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, also do ye. In quarrels we forgive, as Christ forgive us. Well, like I said, it's like, depends, how do you determine, there's a certain amount of judgment that goes into all these questions. As Christ forgave you. If I went on to be a drunkard all my life, Christ forgave my drinking. He put away the past of what I had done. And caused me that I would not drink anymore. Because I'll tell you what, there are countless numbers of people who are going to, their entire lives, do all these works of wickedness, and Christ isn't forgiving them. You know what I mean? It says the children of the wrath of God is going to come on the children of disobedience for doing certain things. And when I see people doing those things, I know in my heart, that they're headed down that path. And so what do? Forgive them? When they do evil to me, I say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I have a quarrel with someone. I forgive them in my heart. They don't know what they're doing. But as far as this, I also got to do what Paul said. I got to, what? Verse 28, chapter 1. I preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Because the only way you're going to appear before God in Christ is to be perfect. It's the only way. It's one way. It's very narrow. It's straight. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. Words of Christ himself. Sorry, I haven't quoted Jesus that much yet. I'm kind of saving that all for the Gospels. So as Christ forgives, we do forgive. But you consider also the fact that he's not forgiving people. So what is the mercy that we show to them? What is the goodness of God we show to them? How do we love people who are not being forgiven by God?